Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Great to have you with us today on Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. The University of Alaska Southeast recently received about $250,000 from the National Science Foundation to study how tiny spores of fungus help turn water into ice. Now, of course, before we go any further, we should clear up the pronunciation of the plural form of fungus. Do you say fungi when others say fungi? Apparently, it is a tomato-tomato kind of thing. At least, that's what this pronouncer we found on the internet suggests.
In British English, it is usually pronounced as fungi. You do want to stress on the first syllable, the fun syllable, fungi. In American English, however, it is usually said as fungi. Fungi in American English versus fungi in British English.
Conrad Meister, a chemist at the University of Alaska Southeast, studies the role of these organisms, which are neither plant nor animal. But just to confuse things a little bit more, he has his own pronunciation. He says neither fungi nor fungi, but fungi. And he blames that on his German accent.
I also don't care if I pronounce it fungi or fungi. People get what I'm talking about. It's actually now a perfect story for next time I teach, because I can tell, okay, listen, I always talk to you about fungi, but it turns out they're called fungi.
Fungi.
So,
how does one get into studying fungi and its impact on forming ice? I mean, how did you come to this subject?
So I'm basically an ice guy, I would say. So like I'm very, very, very much interested in how organisms, and it doesn't have to be a fungi, but all kind of organisms, fish, insects, plants, how they can deal with the cold, or better with ice. I originally studied that in fish, and then I had the chance to go to Antarctica a couple of times to study this problem on how does nature deal with ice or the cold, basically. They keep finding bacteria and fungi in the atmosphere as well. And I realized that there's quite a few fungi that also have this capability of nucleating ice pretty well.
So what does the term nucleating mean?
So what it means is that normally what happens is if we cool water, we all learned in high school that below 0 degrees, we should have ice. Right? Then it should be ice. But in reality, that doesn't just happen. And we know this phenomenon. Sometimes if we put water or even other drinks in our freezer, they are supposed to be in a freezer that's below 0 degrees Celsius, but they're still liquid. And what we call this state is called supercooled. And then if you would shake the bottle, for instance, it all of a sudden magically completely crystallizes and forms ice. The reason that we form ice is that we shook the bottle. And so this is basically the starting point to get ice. And that happens to a temperature minus 17, minus 18 degrees Celsius. And now a nucleus is basically a tiny dust particle, a little piece of something inside pure water, which basically ice starts to form. For instance, every snowflake we see always has this little dust particle on it. And now the fungi or the fungi are 10,000 times better at making this ice than all the dust or whatever we know so far. And that's why it is pretty interesting.
So where does the fungi come from that causes the ice particles to form?
They come from the soil. So they live in the soil, and they're not the fungi that we know that they have actually big mushrooms sticking out. They're more like mold fungi. And so what they're, their natural role is that they basically decay wood and other organic matter and then basically feed on the nutritions. And so one idea is that they actually use this ice making, because ice is obviously very sharp, it's very sharp tips. So it can basically break apart organic matter much better. So it can basically, if you think about, you have a little piece of wood, if I can trigger this ice formation and I have ice, this ice will break a plant apart. And that could be used for either getting the nutrients of the plants or of this decaying wood, for instance. Okay, at some point, the fungi has no more food in the neighborhood, let's say. And that's why they start releasing spores to get to other places. And then they release those spores, travel in the atmosphere, and then they get down somewhere else. And in some cases, the spores are still alive, you could say, because they can start a new colony or spreading somewhere else. But I also have to say that I'm not the expert on fungi per se. I'm a chemist or a biochemist, so I'm really the expert on figuring out the tiny molecules that actually do the job. So the chemistry or the biochemistry behind it. So what makes something very good at making ice?
This doesn't seem like it's mainstream research.
Absolutely. And I think personally, that's why I think it's fascinating. And I think that's why it also has so much potential and why I think the National Science Foundation gave us this money, because first of all, the problem we're looking at, people looked at from different perspectives. So a lot of people that really just study the atmosphere looked at it, and then people studying fungi would look at it, but there was never really a connection. And so I only got into the topic a bit because I was studying those antifreeze proteins, which have similar properties, but a totally different purpose in the organism. So it was more a coincidence in that sense that some of the tools we have been developing in the lab work pretty well for that. But I also think it is a lot of times very important to not always look at the mainstream questions, but be wondering how does that work. And I think that is especially true for Alaska, where I sometimes feel we always look at our big three or four. So people look at salmon, at the whales, at the bears. But we have so many absolutely fascinating organisms living here. And it might be that you have to dig in the dirt, but those fungi, for instance, and their adaptation to the cold are so interesting. And I personally think there's also a huge potential for them being used in biomedical applications, meaning there could be something that we can build up as the state here as well too, because we have the organisms and we should also develop the knowledge for that. Yeah, but it's not very mainstream.
So in forming Arctic ice, where is this fungi coming from? Where is it being blown into our state from? Or does it come from within our state, the interior, southeast?
I think this is something which people are actively doing research on as well. And we also will do that. What you basically do is you collect rainwater and you check what's in the rainwater or what's in the snow sample. And I can do DNA identification. I can say, hey, a lot of times we find this fungi or this fungi. But what we also don't know is we don't have the baseline of, hey, what kind of fungi, what kind of soil do we actually have here? People have been doing that. And again, they have done that for sometimes different purposes. But now it's basically, again, bringing different fields together to solve this problem. And I think that's why I love this problem so much as well, because it's very interdisciplinary. And it is a topic where you really have to talk to people from and experts and just communities from different parts. And I think the short answer is we don't know where exactly which fungi comes from, because we also don't know how far they can travel in the atmosphere. Because if you think about it, it's very hard to track a tiny spore particle coming from somewhere. But I think what the first indication shows is that they can actually travel much longer and much further than we initially expected. And maybe one last side note here is that obviously this change in environment and also part of the Earth getting warmer, this also has huge implication on this type of research, because the soil is getting warmer, for instance, in the higher Arctic. And that means there's more microbial activity. So there's more bacteria and there's more fungi that can all of a sudden reproduce, or maybe that just thawed. And they can have a totally different effect again on the clouds and maybe change some of the precipitation patterns. So it means it can all of a sudden rain more or snow more. And I think that's also something which we've been seeing. It's getting warmer, but it's also getting wetter. So get more rain. And I think it's very important for us to also start getting those baselines so that we know what changes. And I think this is also one of the reasons why we were luckily able to get this money from NSF and do this research.
People are very worried about ice formation in the Arctic for a number of reasons. If you have enough ice, it can prevent storms from coming in and eroding the earth. And we have a lot of coastal communities that are just on the edge of being swallowed up into the ocean pending any major storm. So do you think that there's a possibility that with warming, that there's fewer spores or more spores that help the ice form? Is there any connection?
I think there will be more spores and more bacteria. The problem is just, so it starts as snow, but if the temperature is too warm, it's still going to melt and it comes down as rain. And then if it rains, it has the opposite effect because that will speed up the melting of the ice in a way. And so that will have a less positive effect, let's put it this way. But one thing that's kind of interesting is that I was describing that those fungi, or also the bacteria, they are so good at making ice that people actually have been using them, for instance, for artificial snow making, mostly for ski slopes. So in this case, it's mostly bacteria they use, but they basically use them to let it snow. And there's also been attempts here in the Arctic where they use them to, when we build those ice roads or some of the structures where we're depending on the sea ice, that you basically add some of those very active bacteria to the ice, to the water, so to make it freeze, so to speed up this process. Obviously, that is again more like we try to find a solution for a problem instead of fixing the problem. But there's a good chance that this biological solution for some of the issues that we created as a society might be very helpful. But again, we are still in some of the baby steps, I would say.
How do you go about studying this? I mean, what is the type of field research that happens to figure out the connection between fungi and forming ice?
I have a lot of students working with me, and it usually starts that we go out and we collect soil. And we let everything in the soil grow, and we see, hey, okay, there's quite a lot of the soil. So you see a lot of white patches, and you see bacterial patches. And then we basically harvest those tiny patches, put them on another cultivating plate, and then basically we have quite a bit of the fungi grown or of the bacterial colony that we have. And then we basically just scrap everything up, solve it in water, shake it all up, basically take a grinder and mix it all up. And then we do what's called a freezing droplet assay. So we then have basically a plate where we put 500 droplets of tiny water or solution. And then we cool this plate and we can basically then automatically count. So we have a software that counts it and tells us at what temperature does how many droplets of water freeze. And then we know as a control, we just do pure water, and let's say pure water always freezes at minus 20. And then we see, hey, when we have this unknown sample from out the road in Juneau, it always freezes as minus 5. And it's like, okay, this is very interesting. I always say then the adventure starts, because then we know, okay, this sample has something. And then we use something that's called ice affinity purification. And so there we actually use this trick that the fungi, so they can make ice, so that means they are able to interact with ice. And now we use this, because normally nothing is in the ice. We know ice is very clean. If you go to the glacier, there's usually not much in it, because that means that all of the molecules are being expelled from the ice, so they basically kick them out. But those special proteins that the fungi have, they can bind to the ice. So we basically use a method where we let the proteins bind to the ice, and then we have them frozen in the ice, we can melt the ice, and then we have the pure proteins. And then we start investigating them further with bioanalytical methods to check, okay, what are some of the properties of those molecules?
So where does this research take place? Here in Juneau?
Yes. The research takes place here, except for some of the, I would say, very fancy methods or machines that we don't have at the University of Alaska Southeast, that we sometimes send the samples to collaboration partners. And being from Europe, I have quite a few connections still to Europe, but also I work a lot with people in at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And this research that's now funded is also with Baylor University in Texas. So the thing is, in order to solve a complex problem like this, you need people from all over the world and also from with different expertise. And we can't just all do it here, but that's very important. The majority of all the work is being done here in Juneau and with all our US students here, which I think is very, very exciting.
So what are the key questions that you're hoping your research will answer?
I think the main question for this research is, how do they do that? How is this tiny fungi capable of creating ice at such a high temperature, where all the materials that we've been making or designing or engineers designed are several degrees worse than that? And so the main question is, I want to figure out how that works and what we say chemical groups. So what are the tiniest atoms, like how are they arranged to make this happen so that we can start copying them? That's one big question. And then the other big questions I have, and that's more personal, I want to know, why do they do that? And then the third question I have is then, okay, can we really use this knowledge to somehow tackle some of the biggest problems we are facing, and that's the warming Earth? And can we somehow help by creating or more ice through those fungi? Can we somehow prevent some of the glacier melting, or can we somehow slow some of this stuff down? But that's more, I think, questions that come at a later stage, because we first have to figure out how it works.
So it sounds like this project not only will have scientific ramifications, but might train a new generation of scientists?
Oh, absolutely, Celine. We have at least 6, 7, 8 undergraduate research positions in the lab now. So if anyone is interested in fungi research or in this ice, which they should just contact me and we'll figure something out. And one big aspect of this proposal is also because it's a collaborative work. So that means we do part of the work here, but there's another university in Texas and Baylor involved. And Baylor University is, of course, a much, much larger university with different capabilities. They have a huge medical school. And so the idea is also that we will create a bit of an exchange so that some of the grad students visit Alaska and we send a few students to Texas, so that we expand the knowledge of our students and that they can bring back and basically use that as seeds to develop as new scientists from Alaska, and that they can also tackle the problems here.
Well, it's all fascinating to think that so much is happening at the microscopic level that we don't even think about that might be useful to us someday.
Yeah, and that's also the part of the fascination or the curse, because whenever you open a door and you start looking closer, you learn so much more and you realize how little you know, which is nice, but can also be very frustrating.
The more you know, the less you know. That seems to be one of the lessons of life. Well, good luck with your research. It sounds exciting.
Oh, I'm very excited about it, obviously. That's why I do it.
That was Conrad Meister from the University of Alaska Southeast. He heads up research into how spores from fungi help ice to form. One of the hopes, to find applications to preserve products like food or medicine by using the spores to keep their temperature down. We never seem to run out of feathered friends in Juneau. Up next, the Juneau Audubon Society's Birds of the Week. Thank you.